You're listening to the final day of Essential Church Planting Week on the New Church's Q&A podcast. That's Todd Atkins, Director of Leadership at Lifeway. My name's Daniel Lim, the Director of Church Multiplication here. And man, what a week this has been.
Oh, it's the ups and downs.
It's been ultimately encouraging to see how many people have responded and have been growing and responding to this course. We've seen denominational leaders come in, and what's interesting is denominational leaders have come in, and them and those that they are coaching, they've both purchased a copy of the course, and we've seen them walk through the course together. We have reflection questions and notes as a part of every session, and they're actually using that as a way to process the material with one another.
Well, one of the things that I think is important, if you look at who we are and what we do. I mean, you know, obviously Lifeway is like the world's largest Christian resource provider. Mm-hmm. But the core red hot vision that we have, mission that we have rather, is to serve churches.
Yeah.
And so a big part of that is, of course, new churches. And so mm-hmm. when we look at that, and when we look at Lifeway leadership, and so Daniel's area, New Churches, is under Lifeway leadership. It's under leadership development arm of Lifeway. Mm-hmm. What happens there is we want to give you a map and not a menu.
Yeah,
and when we give you that with specific scope and sequence, we're not only giving you a specific scope and sequence, but it's designed to be around a specific philosophy on how transformation happens in someone's life. It is an overlap of knowledge, experience, and coaching. And that is why what Daniel was just talking about is so important. If you go through this on your own, that is awesome. It is perfectly fine. You're going to get a guide that it will help you process, that will help you experience this content and really engage with it. But we would also say it's written also for you to be able to process that with someone.
Yeah.
We want to make sure.
The experience is deeper that way.
It's much deeper, and the learning is much deeper. So, you know, we've all been in situations or training sessions where it's 3 hours long, and it's just an information dump. And we all know that the transfer of information doesn't lead to transformation. Mm-hmm. It's really you need to process it.
Yeah.
And need to not just have a bunch of information come at you. Yeah. Netflix is not designed to be it's not designed to learn from. It's designed to be entertainment. And so that's why we put together things in a specific way.
Yeah.
With a specific purpose in mind.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's where we've seen coaching happen as a result of this. We've seen church planters individually come in and grow in their ability to lead a church through this course. We've also seen, it's cool, youth pastors and associate pastors coming in and purchasing the course to see as a way to discern if church planting is their next step. And I just got an email a couple days ago about this, but an existing church saying, hey, can we purchase this course for all of our residents? Can we purchase this course for our pipeline of future church planters and use this to train them up?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? Honestly, we hope this would happen, that this would happen. Like we wrote on a board, we were like, hey, this would be our vision to resource church planters, those who are interested. But it's so encouraging to see it actually happening. And I love this quote by Shane Mitchell, who's a worship and creative arts pastor who is transitioning into becoming a church planter. Okay,
I'm sure this is going to be good.
I love it. He said this, better eat your Wheaties and fasten your seatbelt before watching these information-packed modules. As a church planter in the early stages of planting a missional church, this teaching series answered so many questions I had and reaffirmed practical applications I've studied before. Ed's teaching style is both informative and exciting. While he addresses several fundamental principles that should be applied over the next course of the next 6 to 12 months, he does so in a way that helps you manage time wisely and not be overwhelmed. From building relationships with the unchurched and lost to helping you understand how to create groups and assimilate people into areas of discipleship and ministry, Ed's approach will help the new planter as well as the seasoned pastor remain kingdom focused and on task as they multiply disciples of Jesus and Great Commission churches. I highly recommend this to all church planters. Well, today, without further ado, we're going to listen to Ed share about the 5 things every church planter needs to know. So let's listen in.
Hey, welcome back. I hope the first session was helpful and challenging. We talked about some secrets that we've observed from 30 years of ministry. I also encourage you to always go to newchurches.com. We put a lot more information and resources there you can download for free. Let me talk some about some things, five things I believe that every church planter needs to know. So, and this is key. When I want to build some facts and content, and really kind of get a picture of things that I think a lot of people don't know that they need to know. So, if you're a part of a church planting team, if you're a leader, if you're a pastor, if you're a core member, I want to speak to things that if you're part of this church planting team, there's some things I think are key for you to know. The first thing is that teams are essential. Now, when people hear that, right, they think sometimes that I'm talking about full-time vocational teams. Well, actually, I'm not, though that's great, and I have planted a couple of churches that way, but most of the time, the churches that I planted didn't have teams when I arrived. In kind of inside the church planting movement, you know, there's a language that every movement has. We call it a parachute drop, you know, as if you're, a paratrooper, you know, jumping from a plane. And so in a parachute drop church plant, which has been the majority of what I've done, I've never planted without a team, even though Donna and I and sometimes our kids dropped in on parachutes. What do I mean? Well, here's the deal. You either need to come with a team or you need to build a team. Now, the vast majority of people will actually build a team, not come with a team. Most church plants are actually planted by vocational planters. That means they have two jobs, maybe working at the post office all week and planting a church on the weekend. You probably won't have a vocational team. As a matter of fact, there are even challenges with vocational teams. One of the things we found is when you have three or four full-time people that they have difficulty building broader community because they have a community of themselves. So even if you come with a multi-staff team member, you need to start a small group, we need to separate the domains where we're at work, each of us evangelizing into existence some small groups and make that a focus of what we are doing. But teams are essential. In planting missional churches, we talk about creating a series of leaders, helping raise up a series of leaders that every church plant needs if they're kind of planting in a conventional way. Now, again, we should say that we are well aware that there are wonderful different ways to plant churches that don't plant this way, but that probably if you're watching this video, you're planting in a more conventional manner where you're building a core group or a launch team, and then you're starting with some sort of public worship service and continuing to evangelize and grow from there. So in there, we talk about teams like you need from the beginning somebody who's going to be specifically raised up, who's going to be engaging in evangelism. We need an evangelism coordinator. We need someone who's keeping the church focused on that. Actually, that has a biblical warrant in Ephesians 4. God gave some to be, includes evangelists to equip God's people for works of service. So how do we keep the church focused on evangelism? We have an evangelism coordinator. We have a volunteer coordinator who's helping to raise up others and training them, helping them discover their spiritual gifts. We have a guest services coordinator who's making sure that the gathered experience on Sunday morning is welcoming to people who maybe are new at church and this is new for them. We encourage an assimilation and groups coordinator. I say often in my church, there's no more important ministry in our church than our life groups, right? We're not a church with small groups. We're a church of life groups. And so we want somebody who's helping assimilation and ultimately getting people into groups. You need a children's ministry coordinator in most Western English-speaking contexts. You need a worship coordinator. Someone's going to be leading the worship, building ultimately a worship team. And you need someone to help with finances, a financial coordinator. So that's in planting missional churches. You can find more about that on newchurches.com. But all of these things here are part of a team. Now, when I've arrived in places, I didn't have these people. We raised up these people. Matter of fact, when I think of the church plant I'm in right now, I can think of, for example, our current financial coordinator wasn't a believer, but I've had the privilege of praying with him to trust Christ and baptizing him. And now, among other things, he's the financial coordinator for our church, part of that team. I can think the same of others on that list. So the first secret I want you to get is that teams matter, but you're probably going to have to build them. That means you are going to have the capability to spend time with leaders to raise them up. You don't have to be an expert on everything. Help them be an expert on their area. And you can do that. You can find that through video training, right? So video training, right now you're watching this video training, like through Ministry Grid, a resource we have, you can find how to create a greeter ministry. Get your greeter coordinator watching that. How to be engaged in a small group. Get your small group coordinator watching that. And by the way, that's free for a year for church planters. So you can actually use that in your church plant, get this training in place. So number one, teams are essential. Number two, systems matter. Systems matter. The typical church in the Western world is runs about, well, it depends on how you count, but somewhere between 75 and 90 in attendance on a Sunday morning across all denominations. So the typical church isn't past 100, and typical new church takes years to pass 100 if it does. So why is that? Because most church planters are unable to build systems that are scalable. In other words, it's great to have a church and to love on people. I want you to do that. I want you to preach the gospel and love people. But I want you also to recognize that part of preaching the gospel and part of loving people is to create systems and structures where people can share the gospel and love others. And so it's not as essential that you be the center of relationships. But instead, your job is not to always do the ministry, but your job is to create an administrative structure where ministry can be done. So I want you to see this, right? So your job as a church planner is not to be just a minister, but to be an administer to create systems. And again, don't miss how that relates to the first part, the leaders, right? So you need teams. And so what do you need to be spending your time doing as you move from that different phases of church life? Well, still stay focused on evangelism. Put a quarter of your time building relationships leading to evangelistic conversations. But over time, spend more time with leaders. Again, you'll hear this theme throughout our courses. Spend time with leaders and the lost. As you spend time with leaders, you're developing systems. You don't have to be the expert on all of them, but you're getting them access to resources so they can create the kind of systems that are necessary for an effective church plant. It's like a skeleton in the body. You don't have to see it all the time, but you need to know it's there. It's holding things together. Part of your job as a church planter is to build the systems. The reason most pastors and churches don't pass 100 is a systems issue. So number three, vision gets hijacked. Vision gets hijacked. And I want you to not miss this. There's going to be a time, you're not going to believe me, there's going to be a time when people are going to be dissatisfied, people are going to be unhappy, and they're going to come and they're going to say, we need to change what we are doing. Now, first be open, because maybe you're doing something that you shouldn't be. Maybe God and his wisdom has spoken through the people in your church about something new, a new direction or a new emphasis. But what I want you to hear, what I don't want you to miss is that when that vision hijacking comes along, it's mostly not, here's a better way to do things in a church plant. Could be. But it's often instead, and I got to tell you, I mean, over and over again, I hear this from church planners. It's, man, we're too focused on reaching people. We got to slow down. We got to not do this. We got to not do that. And what you got to do is don't let the vision of the church to reach, I'm hoping that you're evangelizing this church into existence, to reach unchurched, to dechurched, Christian-ish people, to secular people, to show and share the love of Jesus and to be focused on that. So when that vision hijacking comes, my friend Sean Lovejoy, who is the nicest person you've ever met, he says, got to be mean about one thing, be mean about the vision. Say, this is where we're going and this is how we're going to get there. So again, teams are essential, number one. Systems matter, number two. Vision gets hijacked, number three. Number four, multiplication takes focus. Now, I'm not just talking about church multiplication, right? But we want to multiply disciples. We want to multiply groups. We want to multiply ministries. We want to multiply churches, right? And ultimately, we want to be multiplication centers. Some of us may want to multiply campuses, right? Our church plant has two campuses now. And so, but not everyone will do that, but that multiplication DNA needs to be throughout the church, and that takes focus. That takes a continual admonition and exhortation to the people of your church to multiply. And I want you to hear this. When it comes to the vision, when it comes to anything, by the time you're sick of saying it, they're first hearing it. And so say over and over again, point to multiplication. Try to lead and encourage people to multiply as disciples, to show and share the love of Jesus to their neighbors, to their coworkers, and to their friends, to multiply groups. Put that in the DNA from the beginning, that we are not just here to create a small assembly of people, that groups are not simply like little holding tanks to keep people in church off the side of the worship service. They're central to the mission of the church. They're the place where people are going to provoke one another to love and good deeds, as the writer of Hebrews speaks of. And so we want to be intentionally multiplying groups. Ministries. Do we have a pathway to raise up more people engaged in more ministry? Are we helping them to find their spiritual gifts? Systems matter, right? Teams are essential. Are we helping them find their spiritual gifts so they can utilize them in new ways, starting new ministries? And lastly, do we have a church planting strategy? We've heard if you don't plant a church within 3 years, you'll never plant a church. I don't know if that's statistically verifiable, but it seems to be observationally correct. So I want to encourage you from the beginning to be involved in church planning. When we started the church I'm serving in now, the first Sunday we said we're going to be a church planning church. We'll put money aside from the first Sunday to be sponsoring other church plants. And right now we're in the process of sponsoring two primarily, one planting churches in Brazil and other planting churches locally. And we want to be involved in this on a consistent basis as a church. So multiplying everything takes focus, right? Multiplying disciples, groups, ministries, churches, perhaps even sites, takes a focus on multiplication. Lastly, when we talk about secrets for church planting, I come back to this, right? Family matters. Family matters. I want you to hear this. Every time I planted a church until this time, every time I planted a church, it was hard on my marriage and it was detrimental to my spiritual life. I want you not to miss that. Okay, I'm coming before you, be honest and vulnerable. Every time I've planted a church, it was bad for my spiritual life and hard on my marriage, except this time. So what's different? Well, part of it is I kind of learned that I need to stop doing it that way. But part of the reality is that we as church planters, right, we're in this together, right? But we're not normally the contemplative, take life easy, kind of, you know, just relax when we need to relax kind of people. We tend to be hard charging, get it done, go at it, get it completed. Man, and that doesn't make us necessarily the most contemplative people in prayer. That doesn't make us necessarily the most engaging the Bible people there are. And what I want to say to you is if you want longevity in ministry, you're going to have to focus on those things. If there's a secret that I could say to you, it's not that much of a secret, but here's maybe the secret part is that I know you, I love you, I've worked with you hundreds of times, right? I've deployed hundreds of church planters through ministries that I've headed up. And because I love you and I know you, I want to say to you this, is that if you go out and plant a church in your own power and strength, then it's your church and God's not honored by it. But if you will take the time to be in the Word, take the time to be engaging in prayer, take the time to pastor yourself and to pastor your family with love and graciousness and speak into their lives, you will actually have a longevity in ministry. I've had to learn this. I've grown in this. You will have a longevity in ministry. If not, there's a good likelihood you could flame out like so many others have flamed out along the way. So five secrets, right? Teams are essential. Systems matter. Vision gets hijacked. Multiplication takes focus and families matter. You have to, again, focus on the family. Now, we're going to continue this conversation in the next session. We're going to specifically talk about church planting autopsies, lessons from failed church planters, church planting autopsies. In this session, I'm going to teach you how to avoid becoming a church planting statistic, right? I keep statistics. I don't want you on the failure side of that column. I've never shared this anywhere else, so be sure to tune in as we talk about church planting autopsies.
Now, I know today's the last day for our Essential Church Planting Week, but if you go to newchurches.com/essentialchurchplanting, click get the first three modules for free, then what Ed was just referring to right now about his next session, Church Planting Autopsies, Lessons from a Failed Church, you will actually be able to listen to that for free as well. Mm-hmm. So a little bonus.
There you go. Well, okay, so the couple takeaways I have on this one are teams are essential, and at the same time, you want to be careful if you have a full-time, fully staffed team, because you'll have a tendency to form your own little group. Your families will hang out together. You'll, share in the suffering together, so on and so forth, to where you'll be closed off from your community. So I thought there was a lot of wisdom in saying, hey, if you have that luxury, because most church planters don't, but if you do have that luxury, be sure that you separate domains and you really go after the lost people in your community.
Yeah, I mean, the beauty of that, I don't have anything to add to that. Yeah, what I personally loved about that session was, his specific quote that the reason why most churches never pass 100 in attendance is due to a lack of systems that can scale.
Oh, amen. Let's just rest there for a moment.
Yeah. And also the other thing that, I mean, Pastor, you are not called to do the work of the ministry. You're called to equip others to do the work of the ministry.
You are to be a developer, not a doer. In fact, mm-hmm. all of us are. I mean, if you look at the Great Commissions, the Great Commission is not to be a disciple, it's to make disciples. It is multiplication. It is about development, not about doing. And so many times we make it all about doing.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Now, if you want to purchase the course, then today is going to be your last day to get it with our giveaway. You can still get it, the course, any other time. If you're a Plus member, you can get 25% off the purchase price. But today, if you're not a Plus member and you purchase the course, the first 10 are going to get a limited edition New Church's Bluetooth speaker. All right, so that's the first 10 to purchase this course. There's no coupon code. You can just go straight there and we'll email you if you're the first 10. Now, thank you again for listening into Essential Church Planting Week. And next week, we're going to get back to our regular programming. Man, I kind of sound like a PBS telephone.
You do. I'm
regular
feeling
programming.
Our regular. Now back to our regular.
The phones are calling. They're ringing in the background. Yeah, me too. But I love PBS Kids.
I
My kids love the app.
Heck yeah. It's a great app.
All right. See you guys next week.